Cable news, noisy, boring, out of touch. That's why Salem News Channel is different. We keep you in the know. Streaming 24/7 for free. Home to the greatest collection of conservative voices like Dennis Prager, Jay Sekulow, Mike Gallagher, and more. Salem News Channel is unfiltered and unapologetic. Watch anytime, on any screen, at snc.tv and local now, channel 525.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance on this 10th day of November 2023. Now, tonight we have, well, the in-booth, in-studio producer, none other than Josh Booth. Hey, Josh.
Hey, what's happening?
Okay, we're at it tonight, and we have him, a man of many, many talents, a man who's been around a very long time, a patriot, an author, and someone that was born on a very special day, May 14th, 1948. None other than Big John McTernan.
Well, hello, Pastor Ernie. Almost got it. May 21st, 1948.
Oh, week. You missed it by a week.
Yeah. And well, I got you really good on that. You remember that seminar you put on and I was preaching and I played that little trick on you years ago?
Yeah, I remember. You got me. Yeah. Do you remember when I played that song? And let me see. Once Before I Die. Do you remember that?
No, I remember the time you had me sit on that piece of equipment on your couch.
Yeah, that was an interesting
time. That was one of the most stupid things I think I've ever did in my entire life.
Yeah. And my wife reprimanded me. Should we tell the folks about it? I'll tell.
It's so dumb. It's so dumb you could tell them. I mean, it's so funny.
Well, we have these plastic things, folks, you put on the furniture, on the couch, in the chairs, so the dog don't sit on it. And we had, at that time, we had a cat, too. And they're little plastic round things, and they've got little spikes sticking up. John comes in, and he looks at those, and he says, "What in the world are those things?" And I says,
I said,
"Those are butt massagers." And John says, "Butt massagers? I never heard of that. No kidding." I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, how does it work?" I said, "Well, you just sit on it, and you move around." And, and you sat down, and you were moving around, and you said, "You know,
I sat down and I sprung straight up in the air, Pastor Ernie. I wasn't wiggling around on that."
Well, I remember you looked at me and you had this strange look on your face, and you said, "This doesn't feel good at all."
And now you're embellishing.
No, I'm not. I remember.
No, it didn't last one nanosecond when I sat down on those spikes.
I said,
oh, no, I remember. What an idiot. How could I fall for that? That's how I remember, because I was spiked by the thing.
Do you remember my wife walking in and saying, what's going on here?
Yeah, I remember that.
And you remember the look she gave me.
She was chastising you for tricking me.
All righty.
Oh.
Okay. But maybe, hey, Josh, if you're listening, maybe you could tee up that song, Once Before I Die, right here at the bottom of the hour. Could you do that? Yeah, just do it. Yeah, just before the bottom of the hour, we'll play that, because there's a long story to that, and I'll tell it after you play it. So, but we got to get into our scripture, and the scripture was the title Last Days Are Now, and I'm going to finish it up as I was going through some of the signs that we see of the last days, things that have been happening here, and so we're going to pick it up where we left off, John, in Amos chapter 1. Verse 6 through 8. Amos chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. Okay.
Amos?
Chapter 1, verses 6 through 8.
Okay.
Okay. Do you have it?
Yes.
Go ahead and read it.
Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Gaza, and for four I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they carried away captive the whole captivity to deliver them up to Edom. And I will send fire on the wall of Gaza, which shall devour the places thereof. And I will cut off the inhabitants of Ashdod, and him that holdeth the scepter from Ashkelon. And I will turn my hand against Ekron, and the remnant of the Philistines shall perish, saith the Lord God.
All right, so now he's referring something here that at that point to a coming in a very near future, but then also if you go through this, it's got a reference to a distant future. So here, this is the third time where he is brought to judgment on Gaza. And here he's talking about now the reason that he brought the judgment on Gaza was because they carried away captives and the whole captivity. Now, does that sound like something has happened recently to you?
Yeah, it's kind of ongoing right now, Pastor Ernie.
Okay. And he says he will send fire amongst their walls. Does that sound something that sounds familiar to you?
It sure, certainly does. And notice Gaza in that. I mean, that's exactly what's happening right now.
Okay, so here, do you know who it was that created Hamas?
They're part of the Muslim Brotherhood, Pastor Henry. They're an arm of the Muslim Brotherhood.
That's true, but there was someone that created Hamas, and the reason they created Hamas was to get rid of the PLO. It was an inside, like the CIA does all the time, operation. And it was Israel that created Hamas, like Obama created ISIS. ISIS was supposed to get rid of Al-Qaeda, and Obama created them. And so here now, Gaza, the Hamas. Now, they have a statement. The son of the first leader of Hamas has been on the news, and he's been talking about how their policy is this. When they conquer a people, that people will either have to believe what they believe, in other words, hold to their religion and their faith and their beliefs, or they have to die, one or the other. There's no in-between.
That's real Islam, Pastor Ernie.
I know. That's Sharia law, isn't it?
That's the Islam of the
you know, the original, that's how Islam spread.
That's Sharia, I know. And so, but boy, but now, have you seen who were the reporters from NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, where they've been embedded with?
Yes.
They've been embedded with Hamas.
Yes.
And so the
criminals. They're criminals. And Pastor Ernie, that ties in with why the New York Times was quoting Hamas against Israel, and Hamas was lying. The New York Times was printing it, and finally they came out and had to, like, retract what they were saying.
Yeah, I know. But you see, again, this is why even right now as we're on the air in New York City at Grand Central Station, you've got this huge protest. Now, they were looking for a good way to divide those of the conservative Christian patriot media, social media. And it's worked because you've got part of us, like people like us, we understand. We take the pro-Israeli side, but we understand that Israel by no means is innocent in so many ways. And we understand that Israel today is a stiff-necked people, and they're the government's still very, very sinful in the people. But we also understand that what happened was prophesized, and we understand what Hamas did, and we understand the other side, that the propaganda machine. Look, John, they had the day after, was it October 7th, they had already had T-shirts printed, flyers out, banners. So this had been planned for a long time. We know that Netanyahu said he was betrayed, just like President Trump was betrayed by Austin and Milley, that Netanyahu was not told, he was not informed, but his generals knew that they had been running these exercises for 2 years, preparing for that day. And so...
Yeah, the generals, I don't know which one it was, Pastor Ernie, said that they thought it was much less than what had happened. You know, in other words, they were minor exercises, not to the level that they reached when they attacked Israel. You know, but they admitted that they knew that Hamas was doing things like this.
Let me ask you this, John. With our CIA, our intelligence that they have, and the Mossad's, which is probably one of the best intelligence units in the world, do you really think that they didn't know that? Do you really think that they weren't informed? They wanted a war. Now, here's what everybody, the big story out there that is going around, the so-called narrative, John, is that right there at the Mediterranean Sea, and right there under Gaza, sits one of the largest natural gas wells in the world, right there, supply underground natural gas. And they're saying that's why this was done on purpose, that Israel did this on purpose to get that natural gas. What do you think of that?
I don't believe anything, Pastor Ernie, until it's well proven. I mean, there's so much disinformation. I never heard that. But I know off the coast of Israel, going all the way up to Lebanon, up into Syria, it's loaded with natural gas fields. And in fact, Hamas and Israel have come to threatening words over the gas fields. So, yeah, it's loaded with gas. But I have not heard under Gaza there was, an abundance of gas like that.
What about, have you heard that Asher dips her heel in oil?
Yeah, but Asher is up north.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is are we going to hear about a huge oil supply coming up, oil field someday?
It's very possible, Pastor Ernie, because we know when we look at, like, Ezekiel chapter 38, the reason that this confederation of nations is coming against Israel. It's specific right there in the word, the wealth of Israel. Israel is incredibly wealthy.
What about the Dead Sea? Is that filled with minerals that could be mined?
Oh, yeah. Potash and all sorts of fertilizer and that.
Okay, let's go to Jeremiah chapter 49. Would you read verses 23 through 27? I think you're going to know all about this. Jeremiah 49, Jeremiah 49, 23 through 27.
It's probably about, I think that's about Damascus.
Yeah, this would be the fourth time this is talked about. Go ahead.
Excuse me. Concerning Damascus, Hamath has confounded an Arpad, for they have heard evil tidings. They are faint-hearted. There is sorrow on the sea. It cannot be quiet. Damascus is waxed feeble and turneth herself to flee, and fear hath seized on her. Anguish and sorrow has taken her as a woman in travail. How is the city of praise not left, the city of my joy? Therefore, her young men shall fall in the streets, and all the men of war shall be cut off on that day, saith the Lord of hosts. And I will kindle a fire in the wall of Damascus, and it shall consume the palaces of Ben-Hadad.
All right, so here now, Damascus is the oldest city that has been continually occupied. There, and here it's it's older, but it is the ancient capital, actually, of Syria, the ancient capital. And so here, why was it that a few years back when Israel had their last attack, big attack in Syria, they hit Damascus, and they blew up about more than half the city, but the city still stayed occupied. What was it that was there in Damascus that Israel was going after?
Well, as I understand it, Pastor Ernie, all the terrorist groups had their headquarters in Damascus.
Well, not only that, but they had a huge... their ammo dump was there. Their whole ammo dump. They had all the rockets and everything that was found there in Damascus. And that's what Israel was going after.
Yeah, they had chemical weapons there also, Pastor.
Yeah, but those people, they are so evil because they make these underneath hospitals. They put them under hospitals. They put them under schoolhouses. But they won't talk about that on NBC, ABC, or CBS, will they?
No, Pastor Ernie. No, they don't. Everything is pointed to how evil Israel is. But what happens is there was four hospitals there in Gaza, and like under each one was a command center for Hamas.
Okay, so now here, he's telling you at a future time. He tells you in one place in Scripture. He tells you in one of the Gospels that in the end times, the young men in Damascus will turn to the Lord. They'll turn to the Lord.
And yeah, that's in Isaiah 17, Pastor Ernie.
Yeah. But now here it also says that the young men, they'll fall in the fight, and that he will kindle a fire on the wall. And when we see that happening, will we know that it's starting, that either... that what the Lord Jesus talked about, the times of sorrow, that the start of the tribulation period is very, very near, or is that going to happen right after the start of the tribulation period?
Well, I think that's before, Pastor Ernie. It's one of the warnings of the soon coming of, well, really it's called the Day of the Lord, which is the second coming of Jesus Christ. But that's like right at the door, Pastor Ernie.
I agree. Let's go over to Isaiah chapter 10. Isaiah, well, you know what? Before we go to Isaiah, Let's go to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. And in Daniel chapter 12, read verses 1 through 4.
And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to the same to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book till the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased.
Okay, so now...
I bypass verse 3.
Yeah, I
see. They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever.
Okay, so Michael was an archangel who was assigned... What was his assignment?
Israel.
So he's going to stand up now. Is he talking here at the last half of the tribulation period, last 3.5 years, the great, called the Great Tribulation Period, or Daniel's 70th week? So he's, this is referring to when it says a time of trouble. Now that time of trouble, is that the placement of the abomination of desolation in the temple's holy place?
Yeah, that starts, that triggers it, Pastor Ernie. That's the trigger for it. And then for 3.5 years, the man of sin is going to try and kill all the Jews.
Okay, and there, and at that time, thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Now, the Bible's not in chronological order, is it?
Sometimes it is, but not necessarily.
So he's talking about something here that happens right. He's referring to this time of trouble, but the time the people will be delivered comes just prior to the start of this time of trouble. And we call that the rapture of the church. People whose names were what? Found written in the book. And
yeah,
so
right.
Now here, John, to show you what I'm talking about, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to everlasting contempt. But now, John, there's a 1,000-year period between those that awaken to everlasting life and those that awaken to everlasting contempt. And we know that's called what?
That's the kingdom age, the millennial reign.
The white throne.
Meaning 1,000 years.
Yeah.
Reign of Jesus Christ here on earth.
Right. At the end of that 1,000-year reign. Yep. And so here, this is what he's referring to. Now, but then here, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn away to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Well, now that's an interesting statement. Here, stars forever and ever. The wise are going to live forever. In the analogy, what do you think to be meaningful? The stars also must what, shine forever. And so we're going to be stars, are we not?
Well, see, the key there is and they that turn many to righteousness, that means soul winning, Pastor Ernie. That means turn to righteousness means turn to Jesus Christ. And in eternity, and it says, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. That means shining. So into eternity, people that are soul winners are going to be recognized, Pastor Ernie.
All righty. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. So do you know what we're doing right here and now, John? Do you know what we're doing?
I guess we're increasing knowledge.
Well, John, we're unsealing the book. The prophecies in here, we've been unsealing. So right now, as we speak, we are unsealing this book. I got one quick one. I want you to turn over just one verse. And this verse will be familiar to you. Turn to Isaiah 66 and read verse 8.
Who hath, Isaiah 66, verse 8, who hath heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Shall a nation be born at once? As soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children.
Do you remember what day that was?
Yes,
May 14th,
1948.
Right, and we saw that in our lifetime. So we saw that in our lifetime. And here, well, this is that generation, right, that sees Israel become a nation? Well, that's our generation.
It is, Pastor Ernie.
The blooming of the fig tree, huh?
Yes. Yeah, and it's interesting. The fig tree is like one of the latest to bloom. I did a little study on that. Why the fig tree? And it comes out all of a sudden, and then it blooms, and then you've got the fruit.
All righty. We'll be back. Oh, Josh, yeah, play that song, Josh.
Some people say that no one should be condemned to die. They say that it's unhuman and it's cruel. They say that it's not right. But those same people carry signs saying they support a woman's right to choose. Show mercy to the ones that never show it, and none to those that need it most of all. You've got the nerve to call yourself a Christian when you'll see a killer walk before you'll see a baby crawl. Churches have been known to make a stand, but now we see some churches bending to the will of man. They used to set a standard, and they seldom let it down. Church used to change the man, now it's the other way around.
Alrighty, we're back, and we have Big John McTurnan. Hey, John, does that song sound familiar?
Yeah.
Do you remember what happened when I played that song and you were on a Friday night when you were here?
As I was commenting about the tune, someone singing the tune, was that the one?
Yeah, when we played that song, because you had been criticizing my singing.
And you never forgot that, Pastor Ernie.
No, I know. We had, so one of the ladies sitting in said, "Who was that little girl?" And I said, "That wasn't a little girl. That was John McTernan. That's how he sounds when he sings." And she had the strangest look on her face. What?
Yeah, folks, you've got to listen. You got to listen to this. Pastor Ernie had just created a new song, and you sang it on the show there. And you asked me what I thought, and I don't think you said it was you who had made the song. But in kidding, I said, "Well, he was out of tune," and you thought I was serious. And you got bent out of shape. And then a woman caller called in, and you asked her what she thought about it, and she agreed with me. She picked up, and you, from that day on, that must have been 10 years ago or more, you have never forgotten that.
She was banned forever. We're still not taking her calls. All right. I'll tell you, we gotta get to where, hey, John. There's a little town in Michigan that just really did something big, and this is what's going to be happening more and more, I think, because we've had enough, right?
We've had enough, Pastor Ernie.
Do you want to talk about it, or do you want me to go after
it? No, I only saw the headlines. I didn't get a chance to read it. That's why I sent it to you.
Small Michigan town ousts its entire government and changes the town hall, locks over support of a Chinese-owned electric battery plant. While Tuesday's election results were an epic catastrophe overall for the GOP, a little place in rural Michigan showed that there is still hope for we the people. The Blaze reported Wednesday that Green Charter Township, a town of 32,000 people, or 3,200 people, located in central Michigan, voted out their entire township board, which governs the city. They've got a picture of them all standing here. After they ignored their concerns and cut a dirty deal with a company named Goyton Incorporation, then they put in a little icing on the cake afterwards when they changed the town hall locks just hours after the vote. Goyton is a corporation which makes batteries for electric vehicles, while the company is headquartered in Silicon Valley. Its parent company is based in the People's Republic of China and has ties to the Chinese Communist Party. As the Blaze notes, all seven members cut a $2 billion deal with Goyton back in December 2020 over the proposed jobs, but ordinary people soon caught wind over the potential for communist infiltration and the horrific impacts the massive plant would have on the environment. Back in April, residents angrily confronted the Quislings for selling them out to our greatest foreign adversary. Well, the Chinese may be our greatest foreign adversary, but our greatest adversary are the Democrats.
Absolutely.
China is our number one enemy. An angry resident yelled, "My family members fought communism, and you bringing it right here," screamed another. "Well, we have it right here, like I said, with the Democrats." And he goes on and he says, "Newton uncovered documents proving that the residents had every right to be alarmed. These require Goyton to set up a party organization and carry out party activities in accordance with the Constitution of the Communist Party of China and ensure necessary conditions for carrying out party activities. Moreover, the plant posed a severe threat to endangered species and drinking water. The Economic Development and Responsibility Alliance of Michigan points out that the plant had slated to be built atop what is currently a pristine wetland site. It hosts many rare species, including blue heron, bald eagles, several species of bats, and possibly even the Karner blue butterfly. The nonprofit also notes that this wetland site, which helps to regulate local aquifers, runs through a creek less than half a mile long into the Muskegon River, a prominent Lake Michigan waterway. The Gateway pundit previously reported that Goyton even tried to seize 260 acres of farmland in the town, but they backed off thanks to the efforts of brave single mother Lori Brock, who owns approximately 150 acres where she raises a variety of animals, next door to several pieces of property purchased with Michigan taxpayer dollars where the battery factory would be located. Green Charter residents next decided only a November recall of the entire board could stop the treason, and were able to gather enough signatures over the course of several months to do so. The board otherwise would have been secure until November 2024, and the plant may have been in place by that time. Two board members, James Peake and Gary Todd, decided to resign rather than face the voters' wrath. Then on Tuesday, more than 1,000 Green Charter residents stormed to the polls to oust the other five sellouts. Trustee Dale Jernstedt and Roger Carroll Clark, Janet Clark, Treasurer Denise McFarlane, and Supervisor James Chapman. There you go. East Challenger won by at least 6 points. Jason Cruz defeated Chapman with 60% of the vote, while Jeff Thomas knocked off Jernstand with 62%. Kelly Cushway won 57% of the vote against Carroll. Corey Rabo beat Clark for the clerk position of 53%, and Robert Henderson also received 53% to beat McFarland for the treasurer. There you go. Now, I'm saying all that to say this. We're doing something that's even going to be more effective here, and that is tactical civics. And I just came from a meeting of tactical civics tonight, and this thing is really catching on fire across the country, and more people have had enough, John. I mean, people are really fed up and had enough. They want the country back. Now, it's an interesting thing because here you hear about Joe Manchin. Joe Manchin has announced he's retiring from the Senate. He's not going to run again. And he's going to go out there, and they're starting up what they call a party called Without Labels Party. Without Labels Party, and so far they've got they're on the ballot, I think, in like 8 or 10 states now, and they think they're going to get on all 50 states. Now we're being told that the Communist Party, meaning the Democrats, are very worried. They're very worried about this. But we know, Joe, or John, that they can do in 2024 what they did in 2020. And we witnessed, John, I remember sitting up at midnight watching Donald Trump being ahead. And every single person that I've talked to there at that party that was there tonight was watching. And they said, yep, they saw the same thing. They saw the tally of the votes flipped right upside down. Boom, right there. And they were, and so, in other words, who are you going to believe? Your local news? In my case, I was watching Fox News, or your lying eyes. But anyhow, so, John, as long as we have early and often voting, what is it, how many days before the election?
It's and as different from state. But what happens, Pastor Ernie, with those elections there, the early voting, they get a handle on how many votes they'll need to steal the election.
Yeah. Well, you have that. As long as you have the, do you know that it's almost 70% here of the votes were that are coming in now, almost 70% of these elections are write-in now. People, some, and like in Alaska, they want all write-in. They don't even want anybody coming to the polls. They want everyone just to write in. Now, as long as you have that, you can control it, because these people, how many, I've seen, I remember they had one, at one point, they found over 1,000 different ballots, and they all, different names, but they all had the same address. That was, must have been one big house. And so as long as they've got the paper, the write-in ballots, instead of, you know, and as long as instead of having a voting day, you know, like we used to have, a, you know, the election day and not the election month, and as long as that happens, the Democrats are going to control it. They're gonna, you know, that's what they do. It's like if you have a bird and you throw the bird up in the air, it'll fly. That's what birds do. If you put a fish in water, it'll swim. That's what birds do. When it comes to election, Democrats rig elections. That's what they do. And we've seen it over and over and over. And so, I don't know. Do you think the Republicans are ever going to get smart enough to realize that?
There is really something wrong with the Republican Party. I mean, you know that, and all the listeners know it, but the Democrats are always, no matter what, they are 98, 99%, they vote as a block, right?
Right.
The Republicans, you've got those rhinos in there, and they won't vote for what they should vote for, and then they vote with the Democrats when they shouldn't. And this goes on year after year. It never stops with them. It's not only the national level. It's the same here in Texas. You've got the same in Ohio. There's an element within the Republican Party that is gutless, spineless, probably taking bribes and extorting money, and that's all they're interested. But the Democrats have an agenda. The agenda for the corrupt Democrat Republicans seems to be their own wealth.
Well, here in Ohio, they're called the 22 Rhino Blue. That's what they're referred to. And you basically had 22 Democrats that ran in the primaries as Republicans, were elected as Republicans. And the people did not vet them. They did not find out about who they voted for. They looked behind their name. They saw an R. And they know that they saw a lot of their signs and heard their commercials, and so they voted for them, okay, without knowing that they were rhinos. And we kept telling people all the way back in 2016, remember, we were telling people, no, you got to understand what they're doing, folks. Listen, pay attention. Look who's on the ballot. Did these people in the last election, were they running as Democrats then, okay, because they just switched parties. And they just ran as Republicans, but they're, it's like when these people that move out of California, these liberals, and they come out here, and a lot of them have done that. Okay, unfortunately, they bring their liberalism with them. We don't want that liberalism with us, do we?
No, absolutely. It's like coming with some communicable disease.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And so, alrighty, we have a whole lot of stuff to catch up on. Before we go any further, what you're up to something here recently, and you're doing a conference, aren't you?
Yeah, Pastor Ernie. Next week, a week from today, I'm putting on a prophetic conference, and also we're going to be praying for a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Pastor Ernie. So I'm going to be teaching the history of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in America, and the time is now again. And I'm going into prophecy, just like you did tonight, touching those scriptures. I'm going to go into, the Bible says, the day of the Lord is near. And we know from the Word how we know the day of the Lord is near. And it's not by dreams or visions or, and I'm feeling it's by the Word of God. So I'm going to be showing that this time.
Well, if we look at the 1 Thessalonians 5, we see that just prior to that, you have the people, many nations are going to say, peace and safety, and they're going to be begging for peace. They're going to be begging for peace because this is just prior to the start of the tribulation period. Are they begging for peace today in Ukraine?
But they soon will be, I guess, because they're busy fighting the Russians.
Oh, no, the people have been begging for peace for a while. And we've seen what's happening today. Theft in the Ukraine is going completely. Theft is the norm. No, everybody's stealing there. We know for a long, long time Ukraine was the money laundering capital of the world. Today, remember we warned people, we warned them and warned them that whatever the United States sends over there in arms, you know, that those arms are going to go right on the black market. Well, guess what happened? It was just like we said, the vast majority of it went on the black market, okay?
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, between Ukraine and what Biden did with Afghanistan, pulling out and leaving, what, $60 billion worth of equipment?
85. It was $85
billion. $85 billion. I mean, Hamas was flush with all our equipment there when they attacked Israel.
Yeah, I know. They're using that very same equipment. But you see,
yeah.
Biden...
Yeah.
You know, but you keep hearing people saying Biden gave it to him. He did not give it to him. See, all of that money that comes through, that money, Hamas knew they weren't going to pay $85 billion, but there was a price that had to be paid, and that money had to go through his channels, and not just to Biden. That's
it
what
probably went through Ukraine. It probably went through the Ukrainian banks.
Yeah, and this is what Trump knows. Trump has the paper. A lot of these people, like the people in Ukraine, one of those former Ukrainian government officials, documented a lot of where the money was going to. The dark money was being, and guess what? Here in America, on both sides of the aisle, a number of our senators become very wealthy. And not only that, but you've heard of the Pandora Papers, right? Well, the Pandora Papers, they document all of the top heads of the FBI, the CIA, the IRS, all of these organizations, the government, the heads that all got paid. And guess who has it on every one of them, who knows exactly how much they all got? None other than Hillary herself. This is why...
Oh, yeah.
This is why they'll do whatever they have to do, Comey and all of the others, to make sure Hillary doesn't go down, because they know that Hillary's got all the evidence, and they know that she's smart enough to know, too, if Hillary becomes room temperature, somebody will turn that evidence over. And that's why they'll do, no matter what it is they have to do, Merrick Garland, Chris Wray, they'll protect Hillary. You know, doing whatever they have to do. So all these things are happening.
Yeah, we've seen that already. You're not talking theory. They've already done it right in front of the public space.
Yeah, I know. I'm telling you why they've done it, okay? Why they've done it. And so, I mean, we've known this. Now, okay, Mike Gill gave the Pandora Papers. They're the ones that tracked all of that down to President Trump. Trump has that. That's why Hillary said, remember, if Trump wins this, we're all going to hang. Okay? And she said that right where I could hear it. Okay? So, you know, and Trump has. This is why they're doing everything they possibly can to stop Trump. They're scared to death because all of that money, we're not talking about millions. We're talking about major billions. Hundreds of billions of money was spread around. And so this
is... Well, remember, Pastor Ernie, remember you had the... What was that called? The Clinton Initiative, World Initiative or something?
Yeah.
And they were... they had tens of billions of dollars. It was all set in Ukraine.
Yep.
They were using the Ukraine banks to wash money. So, yeah, she knows all that money going into that Clinton World Initiative. She would have access to whose money was going in there and money coming out, where it was going.
And they had offshore accounts in the Cayman Islands. And so, and there's a lot other that I'm not sure of, so I'm not going to mention these others because, but I'll tell you who is on top of that, and that's our congressmen, the ones that's going after the Bidens right now. They're sitting on some heavy duty stuff that they're going to be bringing out here pretty shortly.
Well, I was pleasantly surprised that Blackburn, is that her name?
Marsha.
Yeah, Marsha, yeah. She is going to subpoena the records about Epstein to see who was on the flights and who was getting money, because apparently the court has sealed it and won't let it come out. So she's subpoenaing the records now to bring it out to the public.
Well, just like you just had these DOJ announces arrests in high-end brothel network used by elected officials, military officers, doctors, and more. Well, so here's what they're not telling you. Okay, according to the DOJ, the following defendants have been charged with conspiracy to coerce and entice and travel and engage illegal sexual activity. Now, you know that the DOJ is as corrupt as corruption gets. And what they do is they cover up. And so they're going after, they're throwing Han Lee, Jimmy Lee, and Hannah Lee, and Jun Meng Lee. They're throwing them under the bus. Now, they have all of these Chinese and other Oriental women as prostitutes, but what they're doing is they're going after, because they know that there's an investigation and this stuff was coming out, John, and guess what? They had a list of all of their clients, and guess what? These clients are all federal employees or government agents. And the DOJ is there to make sure that this list doesn't see the day of the light of day. And so, and by doing that...
Well, there's more to it, Pastor Ernie. What it is, they want to take down someone in there. There's something going on. The FBI knew probably for decades or years that was happening. They knew there's someone there, or two or three, that they want to take down Pastor Ernie. And that's why they're doing... That's the only reason they're doing this.
Alrighty.
And did you see where they're going after the mayor of New York City? The feds are going after the mayor of New York City?
Yeah, this is very interesting, isn't it?
You know why?
No, I bet you're going to tell me. How much time do I have, Josh?
You got a minute now.
Okay, I've got 1 minute, John. Go ahead.
All right. Do you remember him saying, two, 3 weeks ago, month ago, that he was coming after the Biden administration for the illegal aliens, how they were destroying New York City?
Oh, yeah.
Remember?
Mm-hmm.
Now do you see he's under investigation?
Yeah.
That's the connection. He went against, he's a Democrat that went against the cabal. So they're going to take him down.
Yeah, we can't have that happening.
It shows you how ruthless they are.
Well, you know, I wanted to mention this, too. One good thing is New York went all red. They won every, Republicans won every election. We'll be back after this. Get ready. We're going up to a break. We'll be back with more right after this. Don't go away.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company. Like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like.
Rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder.
Just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.